Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On the Bechdel cast, the questions asked if movies have women in them. Are all their discussions just boyfriends and husbands, or do they have individualism? The patriarchy's effing vast. Start changing it with the Bechdel cast.
Hello and welcome to the Bechdel cast. My name is Caitlin Durante.
And my name's Jamie Loftus.
And we're superheroes. When it comes to analyzing media from a feminist lens.
God, what a boring superpower. Honestly, I'm asleep. But I'm asleep during most Marvel movies, so it's fine.
Sure. I like them, but we'll
and
get
there.
And
that's kind of our dynamic.
That's kind of
when
is.
When you think about it.
It's basically, that is how each of us is defined.
Wild. Welcome to the Bechdel cast. This is our feminist movie podcast where we look at famous movies, or in this case, famous movie franchises.
Wow.
From a feminist lens, using the Bechdel test as the jumping off point. That, of course, being the media test devised by evil genius Alison Bechdel. It's a media test that states that there must be two female identifying characters in any piece of media that talk about something other than a man, and they must have names.
Mm-hmm. And for our purposes, we just require a two-line exchange. Very low bar, and yet a lot of these movies that we're talking about today
do not pass.
Don't barely even try.
Even when Joss Whedon is the director.
Yeah. Mr. Buffy, why didn't you do better?
Excuse me, Mr. Male Feminist? Excuse me, Joss Whedon kicking down the door saying, like, what is that shirt? Feminism is the law now? What is that shirt? I don't have it.
I don't know.
The feminist shirt everyone has.
Oh, the future is female?
Yes. I said feminism is the law now.
Same thing.
Look out for that in our merch store.
Yes. So today we are talking about essentially the entire Avengers franchise.
However, for the purposes of this episode, I have only seen the first Avengers movie.
Yes.
So recap wise, we're talking 2012, but we're going to also talk about themes in the entire franchise.
Well, that's the thing. I'm doing the recap a little differently today. I've got short paragraphs for each movie.
Oh.
So you'll see the whole
Jesus Christ.
I know. This is we're going off the rails here, baby. I'm Loki over here.
You're such a fucking creep.
Sometimes I'm good, sometimes I'm bad.
Tom Hiddleston looks like a straight up bug as Loki. He looks like an insect.
I don't like his hair, sure.
I don't like his hair.
So yeah, things are going to be a little bit different. We are not talking about Avengers Endgame. We have not seen that yet, but we, for the sake of this episode, are covering the Avengers from 2012. We're focusing on that one, but there are a few things to be said about some other Marvel ensemble movies, like Avengers Age of Ultron, Avengers Infinity War. There will be some references to Captain America Civil War, because that's basically an Avengers movie. So fair warning, you may hear some spoilers for those movies.
This all sounds like another language to me. I watched the
just,
first one.
Just you wait. Mm-hmm. Let's introduce our guest before we go any further. She is the host of the podcast Staver and the podcast Stuff Mom Never Told You. It's Annie Reese.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I kind of low-key. Oh, there's always a low-key joke when you say low-key. Anyway.
High-key. Why isn't Thor's name high-key?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Missed opportunity.
Funny
he
joke.
He really is the more low-key one, though. Anyway.
Yeah.
Some poetic irony there.
I kind of, like, invited myself to do this when the both of you were on my podcast. So I'm very happy this is happening.
Yes.
Well,
we're
Annie,
excited.
You're a big fan, correct?
Yes. As
Hell
of,
yeah.
like, two nights ago, I have watched all 21 MCU movies in chronological order. So,
whoa.
Yes.
That is an undertaking. Did you take pee breaks?
Nope.
Or did you just wear a just wear a diaper?
I was gonna say, if you were a true fan, you wouldn't take pee breaks.
Yeah.
That's how I test anyone's fandom of anything. I'm like, do you pee? All right. Well, we've got a lot to cover.
Yes.
So
let's just kind of dive right. Jamie, really quickly, what's your history with the franchise and MCU in general?
So I am feeling insecure going into this episode because every time that I have not seen a huge movie franchise, people swan dive into my mentions and call me a fucking loser. However, this is one of the massive franchises that I have interacted with. I've only dipped my toe in. Mm-hmm. I've seen one of the Captain America movies. No idea which.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Okay.
I saw Captain Marvel. And
Black Panther you've seen?
I've seen Black Panther. That is, I'm pretty sure, and then now I've seen the first Avengers.
Got it.
That is all I've seen.
Cool.
So I do think I have, with some research, a general idea, and then I have, through osmosis, I've experienced a lot of people talking about it around me, but I just it's just never been my genre. It's never been my thing. Please don't get into my mentions about it. I don't care.
Yeah, leave us alone.
Leave us alone.
Listen, but then don't engage.
Feminism is the law now.
Annie, what is your brief history and relationship with the MCU?
Well, it's interesting because I kind of became a reverse. As a kid, I really liked comics and I read about like Thanos and the Infinity War. And then it kind of became like not cool for girls to like that. And now it's like cool for people to like it.
Because the future is female.
I just remembered right. Spider-Man 2 is in the MCU technically, right?
Not really. No.
Not the but it's Spider-Man.
Yeah, no. But it's not in the
oh
Marvel.
My gosh.
Fuck
it's,
you guys. All right, never mind.
It is Marvel, but it's not in the MCU.
This is why I hate comic book movies, because everyone's like, oh, actually, Spider-Man isn't the movie. I was like, fine. I'm going dark. I'm sorry, I interrupted
the
you.
The Tom Hiddleston Spider-Mans are in
care.
The MCU. Okay, I'm so sorry.
I actually, there's a whole contract thing involved in that, and I'm a big legal nerd, so I won't go into it, but I could.
Oh, that's
I'm just gonna tell you.
Okay.
I love legal drama more than I wonder what Alfred's take on all of this is. He's not canonically a part of the MCU, Alfred Molina.
Correct.
That
yeah.
is a federal
it's a crime.
People should be in jail. That is very fucked up. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, sorry, Annie, I keep interrupting you.
No worries. So I saw Iron Man when it came out because I remember it was like a big deal. And then I didn't really see another one until the Avengers. My family just liked going movies. I can't recall why we went to go see it. But then after that, I was like, wait a minute. I am in. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was converted.
You're one of the Avengers.
I am. Awesome. And also, I cosplay every year as the Winter Soldier.
I was seeing your Instagram posts
yeah.
about that. So that's pretty cool.
Thank you for saying it's cool. I appreciate that.
No, of course. My history is kind of the same as yours. I didn't read any of the comics, but I did start with Iron Man because that was the first MCU movie, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
And I saw it in the theater, and then I watched others in the theaters sporadically, but as of now, I have seen, I think, every MCU movie except for any of the Hulk ones.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's only the one, yeah.
Edward Norton, is Edward Norton canon?
No.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
That movie is like in the MCU, but they just kind of recast him. But Tony Stark appears and he's like, yo, I'm looking to put together this group.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, Ruffalo over Norton any day.
Agree.
For
Hard yeah. agree. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let me really quickly do the recaps.
Yeah.
And then we'll go from there.
There's what, 19 phases?
Starting with the Avengers from 2012, the story of that is that Loki shows up on Earth. He's Thor's brother. He steals the Tesseract, which, Jamie, you might be familiar with from seeing
feminist
it
feminist icon, the Tesseract.
Feminist icon, the Tesseract.
From Captain Marvel is where yes. I recognize it. Uh-huh. And they refer to her, they refer to the Tesseract with she, her pronouns.
Oh, interesting.
At the beginning
I forgot
of
about that.
The Avengers.
Oh, wow.
So, feminist.
Yes, indeed.
Or, well, a woman. We don't know if she's, like, with us or not.
Sure, sure, sure. So, Loki steals the Tesseract from S.H.I.E.L.D., and they need to get it back because it's important. We don't really know what it does, I don't think. S.H.I.E.L.D. recruits Iron Man, Captain America, Black Widow, and the Hulk to go after Loki. And then all these superhero people capture him. And then Thor shows up and he's like, hey, brother. And then he takes Loki back.
Like Arrested Development
yeah, yeah,
style.
Yeah, exactly. He takes Loki back and we're like, oh no, what? Thor, what's going on? But it's okay because Thor is one of the good guys, and we know that from all the Thor movies that we've seen up till that point. Mm-hmm. And then they put Loki in a cage, but they still don't know where the Tesseract is. Mm. They learn that Loki is building a portal
sure.
with the help of some of the good guys that Loki put under spell, including...
He put the female Tesseract into a phallic-like object and is using it to suck people's hearts out. Symbolism? Maybe. Possibly an accident.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
So one of the good guys that he has under his spell is Hawkeye, a.k.a.
Fabulous
Clint.
Stand-up comedian Jeremy
And then also Stellan Skarsgård, who is a character from the Thor movies.
And he's in, isn't he in Mamma Mia?
He certainly is.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Speaking my language.
And then Loki escapes and all hell breaks loose. And then Black Widow hits Hawkeye really hard and it turns him good again. And then Loki unleashes.
She fixed him.
She fixes him.
She fixes
yes.
him.
Loki unleashes his army on New York City. Ever heard of it? That arrives via the portal that he was building. And then the Avengers...
Long fight.
Band together. They fight back. There's a big flying metal reptile. And then they kill it. And then they win
we don't
and
know how
save the world.
The reptile identifies.
We don't.
Which could make a difference.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So that is... A brief overview of the story of the Avengers.
Yes.
Moving on to Age of Ultron.
Is that the one that Joss Whedon directed that people didn't like as much?
Correct.
Got it.
Yes.
That is the one.
All right. I'm following.
So the first thing that happens is the Avengers retrieve Loki's scepter from a bad guy named Strucker.
Who's that?
We don't really know. It doesn't matter. I think he dies. Shortly after that.
Cool.
I think. Again, I probably don't have all the details right. I'm probably going to fuck some stuff up. So also don't slide into my mentions either.
I'm just still traumatized from the Lord of the Rings episode, honestly. No. Like, just leave us alone. We're doing our best.
Yes. Yeah. There's a gem inside the scepter. And that'll become important later.
We always need an object to circle these movies around because why write a movie?
Right, yeah. Exactly. We need a MacGuffin.
Right.
So then Tony Stark wants to create AI named Ultron as a peacekeeping program to help the Avengers. And then he uses the coding from the gem that's inside the scepter to make Ultron. But as soon as he does, Ultron is mad. And he's mean to Jarvis, which is Iron
Don't
Man's
be mean to Jarvis.
Friend. / suit man.
God. We also, we should mention that Gwyneth Paltrow's lurking around, too.
She's around God. Sometimes,
yes. Probably has a jade egg in her vagina.
She's smearing goop all over her face.
That's where she derives her power. Anyways.
So then Ultron embodies one of Iron Man's old suits, and he shows up at Tony Stark's party. And he's like, hi, I'm here, and I'm a bad guy. And then the Avengers.
Tony
are
Stark's
like
rats.
Stow.
This was such a good party.
Yeah, exactly. Then they try to fight him a little bit. Ultron gets away. He takes the scepter and he enlists the help of the Maximoff siblings. I think they're, are they twins?
Yes,
that reminds
twins.
That reminds okay. me of who are those murderer, the Menendez brothers I was thinking of. Never mind.
So the Maximoff twins are Peter or Petrie? I don't know.
Also, Ultron is James Spader.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Peter's really fast. Wanda has like mind control and telekinesis powers. So the Avengers, they're trying to stop Ultron. Meanwhile, Ultron tries to build a real body for himself using this like high-tech regeneration pod cradle. And he takes the gem out of the scepter, which we eventually find out is the Mind Infinity Stone, which is going to become really important in Avengers Infinity War.
Yep.
Jesus, how many fucking rocks and scepters
oh,
and
man.
Hammers?
And none of them are the heart of the ocean.
I know.
What
it's
the fuck?
Complete heart of the ocean erasure.
Okay, so then he puts this Mind Infinity Stone into this body's head. But then the Avengers get the cradle back from Ultron, and Tony Stark wants to use that body that Ultron has been making to upload Jarvis into it. So everyone is like, Tony, you're crazy.
Don't upload Jarvis.
Well, guess what? He does it anyway. And the Jarvis man turns out to be good, so it's fine. Mm-hmm. And they need his help to defeat Ultron. They name him Vision. And then meanwhile, the twins have realized that Ultron is too evil because he wants to cause a mass extinction. So they leave and they join the Avengers. And then there's this big battle at the end where the Avengers fight Ultron and his robot army in Sokovia. The good guys win, of course. There's only one casualty among the Avenger people.
Who dies?
Which is Peter.
Who's Peter?
Peter is the really fast guy. He goes off and becomes an X-Men or something.
Well,
I don't know.
Rest in peace.
And so now the Avengers have more friends like Wanda, Falcon, War Machine, and Vision. So, yay.
And it only cost them one Peter.
Yes. So that's the story of Avengers Age of Ultron.
What's the next one called?
So the next movie that I'm going to talk about is Captain America Civil War.
I might know this one.
Let me describe it, and you let me know if you've seen it.
Okay, cool.
Cool. Okay. And the reason I'm doing this one is because it is not technically an Avengers movie, but it has almost all of the characters that exist within this world, mm-hmm. and you kind of need to know the story of this movie to understand a lot of what happens in Infinity War, the next Avengers movie. So
okay.
That's why I'm including this one. So we open, and the world is pissed off at the Avengers for destroying Sokovia, which we just saw them do, and New York, which we saw them do in the first movie, right. and all these other places. And they want the Avengers to agree to operate under the supervision of a United Nations panel. Mm-hmm. And then half the Avengers are like, yeah, that sounds reasonable. Yeah, we did help cause a lot of destruction.
I bet Tony's not on board.
Tony is on board.
Tony's mm-hmm. on board?
Yeah.
Tony Stark.
He's like spearheading it.
Yes.
He's good?
He's good.
He's, okay.
Well, because this is Captain America's movie, he is positioned as the bad guy in this, kind of, because okay. we're rooting for Captain America, even though Captain America, personal bias over here, I think he sucks. Anyway.
I just don't even know which Chris he is, so.
That's Chris Evans.
Sure.
But
isn't there another Chris in the main cast?
Chris Hemsworth is Thor, and then by Infinity War, we also have Chris Pratt, because he's in Guardians of the Galaxy.
There was, sure.
The only main Chris we're missing is Chris Pine, and he's over in DC World being in Wonder Woman.
Purgatory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Avengers who are like on board with this, the Sokovia Accord, are Iron Man, Black Widow, Rhodey, and Vision. And then the other half of the group, like our hero, Captain America, Falcon, Hawkeye, and Wanda, they refuse to sign. And they don't want to be, because they don't want to be supervised or controlled by anyone.
Yeah.
So both sides recruit other super people, such as Spider-Man, Ant-Man, and Black Panther. and they have a big fight, a civil war, if you will, at an airport. And then also the Bluth stair car is in the background. So another Arrested Development reference.
Wait, really?
Not technically, but there is a stair car that looks exactly like the Bluth stair car.
That is so wild. I definitely haven't seen this.
Okay. you might have seen Winter Soldier.
Maybe.
I feel like the rest of the plot for this movie is not really important for our discussion. So the main thing is that Captain America and Iron Man fight each other, and it ends up breaking apart the Avengers. Okay, so that's the story for Civil War. Annie, have I missed anything glaring so far?
I don't think so. It's a lot to
There's a lot. These movies are very dense.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Okay, so I'll move on to Infinity War, and then we'll go from there. Okay, so Avengers Infinity War. We open with Thanos. He is collecting all of the Infinity Stones to put on his glove.
God.
So that he can snap his fingers and kill half of the population of the entire universe. He already has the purple power stone. And in the beginning of this movie, Infinity War, he gets the blue space stone, which could very easily have been the heart of the ocean from Titanic.
Right, but they chose not to invite James Cameron into the negotiation process.
Rude. Yes. He gets the blue space stone from the Tesseract. So that thing comes back. And then there are four more stones that he needs now. Two of them are on Earth. Doctor Strange has one of them. He has the green time stone. And Vision has the yellow mind stone in his head. Remember that from that other movie I described? So that's
sort
that.
Of.
So Thanos sends his friends to go get those two stones that are on Earth. And then Tony Stark has to get the Avengers back together, because remember how they were all split up at the end of Captain America: Civil War?
Yes.
So he's like, come on, let's get back together. We got to stop Thanos. And then Spider-Man shows up. He's like, hey.
And he's so adorable.
Yes. And then Thor goes out into space. He meets the Guardians of the Galaxy. Wow.
People like those movies.
Yes. And then Vision and Wanda are attacked by Thanos' goons who are trying to get the Mind Stone. And then Black Widow, Captain America, and Falcon show up to help Vision and Wanda. And they take Vision to Wakanda, mm-hmm. the home of Black Panther.
Okay, I'm back.
Mm-hmm, to get the Mind Stone out of his head so that they can destroy it before Thanos gets it.
Is Lupita in this movie?
She is not.
Damn.
But Okoye's, Danai Gurira's character is.
Ooh, cool.
And Shuri. So we get to see some of our friends.
Nice.
So meanwhile, Thanos gets the Reality Stone on a planet called Nowhere from this guy, the Collector.
Hate it.
And then he captures his daughter, who he abducted when she was a child, Gamora. And he gets the Soul Stone by sacrificing her. So she has to die, unfortunately. Yeah, we'll talk about it. And then Thor gets a new axe in the place of his old hammer. I forget what happens to his hammer. Probably that's explained in Thor Ragnarok. I don't remember.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Blanchett destroyed it.
Oh, right. Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm for that.
And then Thanos gets the green time stone from Doctor Strange, and then Thanos shows up at the big battle that's been happening in Wakanda, and he gets the mind stone from Vision. So now he has all six stones, baby. And what do you think he does?
Doesn't he kill a lot of people?
Yeah, he
kills
snaps.
Like half the world or something.
That's right.
See, I just went to three parties and I know that. I just saved myself $100 in movie tickets.
So half the people vanish into dust and everyone's sad.
And do we know who's dead and who's alive, or is that part
yes.
of the fun?
No, oh. we see who dies. Spider-Man dies.
Oh.
I know.
Wait, does he get no more movies?
Well, he's coming back for Spider-Man Far From Home.
Right, so the one with Zendaya.
Yes.
Love it.
So he, I think it's revitalized. We'll have to see in Avengers
Endgame.
He's undusted. I forget who lives and who dies, but yeah, half the people die. And that's the end of the movies to date. So why don't we take a quick break and then we'll come back for the discussion.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back.
Woo.
Okay, so the first thing I kind of want to do is do an inventory of the characters in the Avengers franchise slash the Marvel ensemble movies, which includes Captain America Civil War. Okay. Side note, these are often not the first movies that we see these characters in, and we see crossovers in other MCU movies, but these are the movies that these characters are added to in these big ensemble cast Marvel movies. The point I will eventually make is that they keep adding a bunch of men and very few women. So, right. For example, in the Avengers from 2012, we've got Iron Man, Tony Stark. We've got Captain America, Steve Rogers. We've got Thor. We've got Hulk, Bruce Banner. We've got Hawkeye, Clint Barton. Those are the super people.
Yeah, and then we've got, from what I could tell from the first Avengers movie, we have three female characters who are identified or participate in the plot in virtually any way at all, where we've got Black Widow. Mm-hmm. We've got Pepper, who is lightly involved in right. Tony Stark's storyline. And then we've got Kobe Smulders, who basically just gives lines of exposition to Nick.
Yeah.
Which sucks because I mean, and I'm sure it goes without saying that it is like kind of abysmal and frustrating that there are so many men who are introduced into this universe and like Black Widow has not had her own movie yet.
Right, exactly.
Because I mean, I was surprised. I assumed, because I hadn't seen the first Avengers movie, I assumed that she had a much smaller role in it and that is why she didn't have, but she's such a huge part of the story.
Yeah.
And still doesn't have, like, that is just pointed.
Yes.
And ridiculous. And as much as I love and really enjoyed Captain Marvel, I'm like, why did we introduce, like, we have Scarlett Johansson's been here for 10 years. Like, can we give her? I mean, not that, you know, whatever. But
they're making that movie right now. They're casting.
I'm glad. Oh, why did it take so long?
Well, yeah. Because I think she shows up for the first time in Iron Man 2, I want to say.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she's been around.
She's been around. Like, but all that to say, for in the first movie, Black Widow is a very integral part of the main action and is very involved all the way up to the climax of the movie. But the other two women are, we see shots of them just watching the action. Like,
right.
They're virtually sidelined.
Well, 'cause
the only man who's sidelined is Fury.
Mm-hmm. Right, because Black Widow slash her name is Natasha Romanoff. Mm-hmm. She's the only one who is actually like a superhero. Pepper Potts and Maria Hill, which is Kobe Smulders' character, either work for S.H.I.E.L.D. or work for Stark Industries. Like, they're not right. part of the like world-saving superhero stuff.
I will say, just based on the research I did of the women in the MCU, while it's like disproportionately they're not represented, they do at least all appear to be in high positions, whether that be like Pepper's like the CEO and like she's in charge, mm-hmm. even though she only gets 12% of the credit, which is an right. exchange that I loved. You know, it's like we've got women in STEM littered throughout this universe. And Kobe Smulders' character, what is Kobe Smulders' character's name?
Mariah Hill.
Is it Mariah?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, yeah.
Does she ever get to do anything later on?
She, not anything that's hugely significant.
Kobe Smulders. For some reason, I stan Kobe Smulders, and I wanted more for her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, indeed. Okay, so those are the main players in the first movie. Then we move on to Age of Ultron. The male characters that get added into the ensemble are Vision, Quicksilver, who does die, that's like the Peter Maximoff character. And then we've got Falcon slash Sam Wilson. Mm-hmm. And we've got War Machine slash Rhodey, that's Don Cheadle's character. So those are the men who are added. The women who are added in Age of Ultron are the Scarlet Witch, aka Wanda Maximoff. That's Elizabeth Olsen. She's the only superhero that gets added. Compared to these, the four men who get added who are superheroes, we are introduced to a couple other female characters. There's Dr. Helen Cho, but she is not a superhero, and she dies. She dies in the movie. And then we're introduced to Friday, which is Iron Man's new female voiced operating system thing that's inside of his suit.
Oh, cool. So, a woman as a robot, a service robot? Uh-huh. Not familiar with the concept.
Because Vision got promoted to having a body, so he has to, he hired a female.
We're out here having bodies now? Sick.
Bottom line there is that four men get added to the ensemble versus only one woman. And then in Captain America Civil War, the men who are added are Black Panther, Spider-Man, Ant-Man, and the Winter Soldier. Versus, guess how many superhero women are added in Captain America Civil War?
Is it none?
It's none.
Amazing.
Yes. We do meet a new character named Sharon Carter. She is not a superhero. And she is only, I believe, of the Marvel ensemble movies, she's only in that movie and not others. Okay, so let's talk about Infinity War. The men who were added to the ensemble in that are Star-Lord, a.k.a. Peter Quill, that's Chris Pratt, Drax, Rocket, Groot, those are the Guardians of the Galaxy, and then Doctor Strange. We do get a bunch of women added in Infinity War. So we've got Gamora, Mantis, and Nebula from Guardians of the Galaxy, and then Shuri and Okoye from Black Panther.
Right.
So the balance is a little bit more equal in this one.
And not like zero.
Not zero.
Which is great.
But the fact remains that when you crunch the numbers, it's still very largely a male cast.
Oh, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, so, look at the posters.
I mean, yeah. Tell me about it.
Yeah.
So that's the inventory of all the characters we're working with who are, you know, the super people in the franchise. So let's talk about, let's focus on the Avengers from 2012. We've got pretty much the one main female character in Black Widow / Natasha Romanoff.
Yeah. Her introduction is she's wearing a sexualized outfit and she's tied to a chair.
Yes.
Yep.
I wonder how Scarlett Johansson feels about how she's very often introduced in movies. I feel like it is not an unusual thing to see a Scarlett Johansson movie where she's introduced in this very sexualized way. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I'm thinking of that Coen Brothers movie, Hail Caesar, but that's like another example of a movie where she's introduced very sexually. But it's weird. That scene feels peak, corny, or what I view to be like a really corny treatment of a female character in a movie like this. That I was hoping that, like, especially I was hoping that the creator of Buffy the Vampire Slayer could do better than, because the way that scene plays out is like she's tied to a chair, and you know, then she gets a call from Coulson. Saying, like, you got to come in, you need to be a superhero. And then it turns out she wasn't a damsel in distress after all. She could have saved herself the whole time. She just didn't feel like it.
I guess, yeah, like, she was waiting to get the information out of the bad guys.
Yeah, she was doing an interrogation on them, basically.
Which we see her do later on
Loki.
Right.
Where she's, like, pretending to be emotional and she's using, like, I'm a woman who cries. As a, like, tactic to get men to, lower their guard and reveal the information she needs.
And I don't really know how I feel. I feel like that's very low-hanging fruit to do, like, oh, I'm reacting like a woman would. Just kidding, I'm not. Like, to me, I'm like, that's, I don't know. That it just demonizes emotions.
Right.
In a way that I think, I mean, like, I think Captain Marvel tackles that situation of, like, dealing with emotions in combat situations far better.
Right. And it kind of just, like, feeds into the idea that, like, women are devious and we're, you know, like, we're manipulative and we're, like, doing emotions to trick you, to trick men.
Yeah, totally. I'm just like, she's crying, but she's actually planning to kill you.
which we also see happen all the time. Not so much in this movie, but in many other movies where women use their sexuality to get what they want, which is this, it's all that also ends up demonizing women's sexuality, where it's totally. Like, I'm using this to get what, but like, on one hand, I'm like, well, that's not good. On the other hand, I'm like, well, if, you know, if idiot men fall for stuff like that,
that's the
and
thing.
That's the tool that we can use to get what we want. I don't know. I constantly have conflicting feelings about this.
It's the only redeeming thing for it is at least that is like one of the tactics in an arsenal of tactics that she has, because we get to see Black Widow fight hand to hand with a number of men in this movie, which I was like so happy happened. Mm-hmm. And I think is like, okay, because I think that there's a lot of male directors who would not have let that happen in such a big movie. But it's clear that she is like just as capable of fighting as any of the other Avengers, which is super important because she's the only woman who's allowed to be there at that time. So I was psyched about that. Like, she knows what she's doing. She's a good fighter. She's making her own calls. There's like that one part where Captain America, aka Chris, is like, are you sure you can do this? And then she's like, you know, fuck you. And then she does it.
Yeah.
Which is great. We should all say fuck you to more people named Chris.
Sorry to all our Chrises out there.
Yeah.
Another thing I want to say about the scene where she's introduced is that in order to get out of like the bondage she's in and to escape these bad guys, she does the classic wrap her legs around a guy's head and pussy slam him into the ground move.
Right. And that's like a move that comes back right? That's like one of her signature moves.
We see her do it twice in Age of Ultron.
Okay.
I don't know if we see it in the other ones because maybe people were like, hey, stop making her do that.
Right.
But yes,
there's so many layers to moves like that where you're just like it feels like such a like creepy dude having their cake and eating it too, where they're like, look, no, she's fighting. She's like kicking people's ass, but like with her pussy.
Right.
And you're like, ugh, gross.
Yeah, that is a huge thing about this franchise is that you do see a fair amount of, at first, a woman fighting, and then as the movies go on, a few women fighting. Mm-hmm. But this very much feels like that McSweeney's piece. As the token female member of this action-adventure team, My Job is to Kick by Juliana Gray. If you haven't read it,
definitely do. One of our faves.
Yeah. To borrow a few quotes from the article that apply to this movie, quote, I wear black leather pants. I wear spike-heeled boots. When I kick, I pivot like a goth ballerina and drive a heel into a villain's face, end quote. There's another one that is, mostly I kick. I can throw a knife with pinpoint accuracy. I am a wizard at zip lines. I probably know how to drive a car, but my male team members always take the wheel while I follow on a motorcycle, leaning low over the bars, my eyes focused, my ass taut and hovering just above the seat. I do not wear a helmet, and my hair streams behind me.
And it's, God, I love that piece so much, but it hurts.
It's like describing this to a T. And then another one, the final quote I want to read is, I do not have a sense of humor except for an extensive repertoire of one-liners about penis size, which like kind of applies to Black Widow, sort of, in the sense that she doesn't really. Here's the thing. I feel like we have less of a handle on her personality and characterization than any of the other members of the Avengers. I think that partly has to do with the fact that she doesn't have her own movie and we didn't really get to know her kind of one-on-one.
Right, yeah.
And she just is characterized as this like sexy spy who was trained as a spy from birth and like right. She had her personality trained out of her.
Right. That was the thing that bothered me. It's like you're totally right. Like we just don't know her as well because Hollywood, right? Mm-hmm. But it's also that the one scene where we sort of get some idea of who she is, and that scene where she's talking to Loki and Loki's there and he's looking like a fucking tarantula. He's like, meh. And she is just like talking about, you know, she's talking about her relationship with Coulson.
Yeah.
And how like, you know, she explains that he came in, was essentially her savior, and then she went from being a baddie to a goodie because of his influence. He decided not to, like, kill her or whatever and, you know, sort of took her in and, like, retrained her to be an Avenger. So her, you know, the only information we really get to know about her, we are learning about her. And it's like suggests an interesting background story that's worth exploring. But we really only find out about how a man saved her and how she, you know, she is internally indebted to him.
Yeah.
Which comes back towards the end of the movie. And it's like, that's, you know, if that is how the story goes, these movies are always tricky because they tie back to like baseline stories back when women truly didn't count in any meaningful way. But it's like there's more there, and we only get to really hear who she is in relationship to Coulson, or that's how I felt about it.
Right, yeah. And then if that is the storyline for one of the female characters, fine if we have several other female characters who we learn what their origin story is, but we don't. We just have Black Widow, right. And then that's our, like, one way that she's characterized.
Right.
We got to take another quick break, but we're going to come back for more. Don't you worry.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back.
There we are.
Annie, I feel like, what are your thoughts on all this?
It's one of those things where, kind of like you were saying, I'm very conflicted about a lot of it. Because I was reading, preparing for this, I was reading up about people's thoughts on Black Widow. And a lot of people said she is this strong, badass female character. There aren't enough female characters, but at least like she is a strong one. I've definitely done an episode on, and we talked about this, I think, when you were on Stuff I Never Told You, but like, yeah, she's never included in any like t-shirts with the Avengers on them. She's not on there. Toys, she's not included in that stuff. And it started like a kind of a whole Twitter kerfuffle. And it is strange because that suggests to me that then she's only there to be the woman that is there, but she's not like truly part of the team, or at least
she's so tokenized. And then yeah,
which is frustrating because it's like it's clear that there's a lot, there's so much to the character that no one is willing to, or like the company has just not been willing to explore. And now, especially with Captain Marvel, it's so like Captain Marvel, as of this recording, just crossed $1 billion.
Yeah.
And like there is clear, like demonstrable value in including women and Black Widow.
You know. Well, that's the thing. So of the kind of main characters in these ensemble MCU movies, here are the people who don't get their own movies or haven't as of this, you know, recording: Black Widow, Wanda, the Scarlet Witch, Falcon, Hawkeye, Rhodes, and Vision. Four of the six of these are either women or people of color. The exceptions are Hawkeye, that's Jeremy Renner. Skip it.
Don't need it.
And then Vision, also, we get his origin story within the, like, I feel like that's skippable too. But the fact that the large majority of the characters who aren't given their own franchises, their own movies, are either women or people of color. Totally. So that is, you know, very telling.
I wonder if that's pointed.
And then we find out, you know, through Black Panther and Captain Marvel, movies that have both made $1 billion or more mm-hmm. worldwide, that if you do give movies to women and people of color,
people really
will
wanna
go see,
see
those.
They arguably want to see it more than they've ever wanted to see any of the Chrises. Literally any of the Chrises.
Yes. Yep. And that's why these movies are worth talking about, because the MCU is the highest grossing franchise of all time. It's earned $18 billion worldwide across, is it 28 films? It's some.
It's 21.
21? Okay.
Yes,
and then
it will
more
be
in development. Okay. Yeah. Geez.
Yeah.
Is there any sign of them stopping? Would they be willing to consider it?
I mean, with the money they're raking in, probably no stopping it.
Cool, cool, cool.
Yeah. And to be fair, these movies have evolved a bit from, say, the Spider-Man 2 days when, you know, the women in those movies are being captured. They're helpless. They need to be saved all the time. But that does not mean that this franchise is without its many flaws.
Right. I mean, it seems like it's definitely evolving. I think that there's a weird trope in superhero movies that I've like slowly, the more I've been forced to watch, picked up on, where there is like this kind of exciting number of like, you've got a lot of women in STEM, you've got a lot of women in high positions, because I think that like these people making the movies understand at least that just damseling a woman in a movie now is no longer acceptable. Like, we want to know what she does. We want to know who she is. Mm-hmm. But there's sort of this like double-edged sort of like, there's a lot of women. I'm thinking of like Natalie Portman's character in Thor or something like that, where it's like she's a woman in STEM, she's very qualified, but she really still only serves the purpose of a love interest. But they're like, but she's like really smart though.
Also in Avengers, they show a picture of her, and rather than including her character in the movie, we just see the picture. We get an explanation that she was sent away to be kept safe. Basically.
Sure. Well, didn't she like not want to be in the MCU anymore? Wasn't she just like over it?
I mean, maybe.
Well, she was in Thor 2 after that, though, so I don't know.
Oh, so maybe she wasn't quite over it yet. Mm. Damn it.
Mm-hmm. Hard to say.
Give Portman her Portman bucks.
When I was doing the research for this and I was compiling like all the characters, I noticed of the women that are involved, there is a lot of white women with red hair. Because like when you brought up Spider-Man 2, I was like, oh yeah, Mary Jane is one as well.
Oh yeah.
Damn.
Because Black Widow often, her hair color changes throughout the franchise, but she often has reddish
hair.
Women
be changing their hair.
Yeah. That's our main thing about us.
That's how I define myself.
I did find an article that said, I think it was from Vulture, that Black Widow got the third most screen time in Avengers, and she had the most uninterrupted dialogue of any of the six Avengers.
Interesting.
That's great news. I like there are like, especially watching the first one, there were certain things where you're like, okay, Joss Whedon, I'm glad you're here, because that is, I mean, that does sound like, unfortunately for 2012, that's like an accomplishment. Right. Of like, mm-hmm. No one's interrupting her. Like, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's something.
Another thing that's worth noting about her character is that in the first movie, she goes to recruit Bruce Banner to bring him into the Avengers team, essentially. And this will mark the start of a friendship that later evolves into a romance as the movie goes on. Because you can't have a lady without making her be with a man.
Right. No. Another problem that they seem to be fixing with Captain Marvel.
Yes. Yep.
There's a lot of like things that I noticed with the Black Widow character that I was like, okay, at least they're trying to course correct that in future movies.
Another thing I wanted to talk briefly about is the men's powers versus the women's powers. Mm-hmm. Especially early in the franchise, the male heroes usually have some sort of super strength or high-tech equipment or suit, or they're literally a god. Like
they're
like
shooting
out
lasers
of
out of their penises.
Right.
Which I thought was a bit much.
They've got these like awesome abilities, right? And then if we're looking at Black Widow, she does not have any out of this world ability or tech, really, because Iron Man has his suit, Captain America has his shield, plus he had this like serum that made him a super person. Mm-hmm. Thor has a hammer, he's a god. Bruce Banner turns into the Hulk, and then Black Widow, she
fights really
kicks.
Well. She's a good fighter.
She sometimes has guns.
And if like that's a canonical issue with that character within the comic books, okay, but then we need more than one woman there because,
right.
You know, like that's, you know, like what you described is crazy disproportionate, where it's
right.
Like, okay, if there is a character who's a great fighter who is a woman, amazing. But we need more than that.
Right.
And there's so many, like, I like was drowning in listicles of Marvel, like female Marvel characters who could have been introduced into these movies that never were.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I feel like people fall on the like, well, the characters were written in a different time, so it's kind of hard. It's like, well, there are still people making decisions of which characters are brought into the universe and
yeah.
which aren't. And it's mostly men. And some of the men they're bringing in are fucking boars, and their name
like Captain
Chris.
America.
I just a lot of like they're like, we're gonna hire every actor named Chris.
Mm-hmm.
And women can't vote. Like that's
yeah, this changes whenever Wanda is introduced in Age of Ultron, because she
yeah.
does have these awesome
oh that's great
telekinesis, mind controlling powers, and she does damage, like
yeah, she's
what,
super powerful.
But in this first movie especially is like woof.
Mm.
All the men get to be awesome. The woman kicks in her leather suit.
I mean, and at least she is good. Like, you know, she does damage. I was
yeah.
glad
yeah.
that we got to see her fighting. We got to see her do damage. And we get to see her get results. But that's kind of the bare minimum you can ask of a superhero in a superhero movie.
Yeah.
She is the one who figures out how to close the portal.
Yes.
And I do want
oh,
to
yeah,
point,
true.
yeah, I do want to point out that you both kind of did this. There's a running joke that everyone forgets Hawkeye.
you didn't
mention him then. And earlier you were saying Coulson. It was actually Hawkeye that she was like trying to. He was the good guy that turned her.
Oh,
damn.
You're,
really?
You're just cracking me up. Cause
dude, Jeremy Renner is, first of all, a misogynist who sucks. And he's also a failed stand-up comedian. And he's also a really terrible actor. I can't think of one thing he's good at. So that's too
surprised.
Bad. That's too. Maybe that's why everyone forgets him, because he sucks.
Yeah.
He's not good at his job.
Forgettable.
Yeah.
We have to wrap up pretty shortly. There were a couple other just like quick things I wanted to mention that we see in the later movies, so I'll just kind of go through like a list of problematic shit that happens, where there's some like fridging that happens in Age of Ultron, where Dr. Helen Cho, one of the only women of color in the movie, mm-hmm. gets killed to advance the story. Black Widow gets captured by Ultron, and Bruce Banner kind of has to come and rescue her. And then they briefly consider, oh, let's run away together because we're so in love.
Ugh.
And then they're like, wait a minute, no, we should stay and fight. And then Iron Man has a horrible line where he's like, hey, you two, you better not be playing hide the zucchini.
Because
Hulk.
There's also that line at the end of the Avengers where like Tony Stark just comes out with this like homophobic light zinger where he's like, oh, God, didn't anyone kiss me?
Oh,
and
yeah.
all the Chrises are like, no. And you're just like, ugh, gross.
There's a couple no homo moments at the end of every movie. In,
yeah. Wait, really?
Yeah, at the end of Age of Ultron, Don Cheadle saying to Iron Man is like, hey, you think I can't hold my own? And Iron Man's like, if you get this, I'll hold your own, which I guess is like, I'll hold your dick.
I'll hold your dick.
And then Don Cheadle's like, you had to make it weird. And then later...
I mean, that's weird. That's a weird thing to say to your to someone.
And then later Black Widow is like, to Captain America and Iron Man, something like, oh, you guys done gazing into each other's eyes? Or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's all just like, yeah.
So there's a lot of that. Yeah, we don't really have time to cover a lot of the other stuff that happens in the later movies of the franchise. But kind of the last thing I want to say is, great that Captain Marvel is now going to be introduced into the ensemble. However, to me, it feels like it's too little too late. Like, they had so many movies, so many opportunities to introduce more dynamic, well-developed female characters who are doing things to contribute to the narratives, and they just missed a lot of those opportunities.
Yeah.
And it's great that Captain Marvel has made $1 billion. It's great that we have this new character who's going to be introduced into Avengers Endgame. But again, it's just like, okay, well,
but it took
what
like
about the 17, other 21
It took like
movies?
17 movies to like include women and people of color in a meaningful way or something crazy like that. So it's just like, well, taking that long to course correct. And it, you know, it does sort of track with what movie-going audiences were demanding based on, like, the beginning of the MCU going up to now. But it's, yeah, I totally agree. Mm-hmm. Which, unfortunately, I don't know really what the resolution of that is, because no one's going to be like, well, scrap it, we'll start over. And this time we'll treat everyone fairly and make it more, like, that's just not going to happen. So I am glad that the course correction that is happening I hope it'll continue to happen. I hope that we can get a non-franchise movie into a movie theater ever again.
Wishful thinking.
Yeah. Mm.
Does this movie pass the Bechdel test? No.
No.
No. Women don't even interact.
They don't meet.
It does not get much better than that in the other movies of the franchise. We do have a little bit more female interaction, but
has Scarlett Johansson ever even heard of Kobe Smulders?
I don't know.
I feel like if she was asked in an interview, she'd be like, whom?
But yeah, The Avengers 2012 does not pass the Bechdel test.
Pass.
So let's rate the movie on our nipple scale.
The first Avengers?
Yeah. Let's stick with the first one.
All right.
I'll give it a 1.5. The fact that we do see a woman who kicks ass, you know, she is making important moves in the story. She, Annie, like you said, she's the one who figures out how to stop how to close the portal. But the way that she is characterized or not, because again, what's her personality? I barely know. The way that she is just very clearly, you know, the token female character, the way that she is pretty hypersexualized, especially with the, you know, pussy slam, wrap my legs around a bad guy's face.
And the skin tight outfits, mm-hmm. and the, you know, like quippy, everyone's got some pretty horrendous quips in all these
sure.
movies. It's canonical to the genre, but like hers are always, you know, feminine quips.
Right.
Like, what are you doing, boys? You know.
Yeah. So it's a step in the right direction from where we were with earlier superhero movies, but we had a long way to go, and we are slowly course correcting. But you know, it's not great what we're seeing, at least in this first Avengers movie. So yeah, 1.5. I guess 1 to Scarlett Johansson, and my half nipple will go to Goop,
Young Goop. The website.
Goop.com.
The business.
Yeah. Yes.
Everyone check it out. I'm kidding. Yeah. They would never. Do not check it out. Okay. I will also go with 1.5. I feel like we're really thrown some scraps in this movie in terms of like female characters who are interesting, and it seems like there is a lot to them. And then we proceed to find out nothing about them that isn't directly in correlation to a man who gets far more context or already has existing movies in this universe. Mm-hmm. I'm glad they're there, and I'm glad that future movies have begun to course correct. Not really for any of the characters we see in Avengers, in the first Avengers, yeah. unfortunately, but in a more general way. That said, I mean, you know, Joss Whedon is now a polarizing figure, mm-hmm. that I honestly have not interacted with his work or the coverage around that enough to have a strong opinion on. But, you know, he has been known in the past as an advocate for women within his work, at mm-hmm. very least. Mm-hmm. So I sort of was hoping for a little bit more.
Yes,
in this movie, because, you know, he really toots his own horn about it. And it's like, well, he didn't interrupt the one female character.
Right.
So that's something.
He
could
have delivered on that way more.
And we know that he's capable of more based on his other work. And of course, there's like a million producers in Marvel and the patriarchy, like the patriarchy in general, to push back against. It's not like he got the call of everything, but you know, it's it sucks to see like even one of the biggest advocates, allegedly, for women in narratives like this still was not able to get that much in. So I'll go a nipple and a half, and I'm giving both to Alfred Molina because he should be in the MCU.
Why isn't Doc Ock the main villain of
why
this movie?
Why isn't he in the MCU? That's bullshit.
legal reasons.
Get the man his check. He shouldn't have time to do the Bechdel cast.
He should be on set on every single
he
MCU
should be
movie.
In all of them. Annie, what do you say for a rating?
I guess I'll agree. I actually recently did watch the old Sam Raimi Spider-Mans for this like really ridiculous project I'm working on. And I was shocked at how, like, I hadn't seen it in a while, but it was, the portrayal of Mary Jane was so bad.
Oof. That is rough.
Quite bad. Yes.
Yeah. And so watching that recently and then seeing the Avengers, I do think it was a step in the right direction. I do think, like, she's smart. She's actually the first Avenger to, like, sign on, and she kind of helps bring the group together. She's an important figure to it, figures out how to close the portal. But, yeah, she doesn't have the outside movie. She doesn't have the same story. And also, yeah, I was watching it, and some of the camera angles, I'm like, this is more sexualized than it really needs to be, okay?
Yeah.
Yes.
So, which I'm sure has something to do with the behind the scenes makeup of the crew, which is most of the major players in this movie. The cinematographer is a man, written and directed by a man.
Right.
There is a shout out to Lisa Lassick. There's one of the two editors on this movie is a woman. So shout out to Lisa.
Hell awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll give Black Widow. I'll give my nickel to at the end. There's this, I don't know her name, but she's an actor that plays, that she does the voice acting for one of my favorite video games ever, Ellie from The Last of Us. So,
ooh,
shout out to you. I don't know your name, but I love you.
Well, Annie, thank you so much for joining us. Sorry we didn't have more time to go into a deeper dive, but we're so happy to have had you. Where can people follow you online? What would you like to plug?
People can follow me. You can find me on Savor Podcast. So that's SAVOR for international listeners. You can find us online at Savor Pod across all of the social medias. You can listen to the podcast. Please do. Stuff I'm Never Told You is a bit more complicated, but so it's at Mom Stuff Podcast on Twitter and at Stuff Mom Never Told You on Instagram. Please check that out as well. And my name is easy, A-N-N-E-Y, if you type in Annie Reese. Easy to find because no one spells it that way. And that's how I am on social media. And thank you so much for having me.
Of course.
Anytime you want to talk about this, I will come back.
Awesome.
Hell yeah.
You can follow us at all the spots at Bechdelcast. We've got our T Public store for merch. We've got our Patreon, aka Matreon.
Yeah.
$5 a month gets you 2 bonus episodes plus the entire backlog.
So over 40. We've crossed the 40.
And April is Portman July.
Yes.
So we covered
the theme is Portman July, although it's April. It's complicated. You have to join our community to understand. If you're feeling FOMO, then fork over $5, honey. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
So if you missed Natalie Portman's character in the Avengers movies, you can hear us talk about her in Garden State and Annihilation.
Two identical movies.
Thanks for listening, everybody. I guess go and see Avengers Infinity War.
Nah.
It's Endgame.
Yeah, Endgame. Just kidding.
We're very invested in this. And to everyone considering jumping into our mentions, do not.
Yes.
Talk to you later.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
The hit movie Bob Marley, One Love, is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life and music of an icon who inspired generations through his message of love, peace, and unity. If you missed Bob Marley, One Love in the theaters, now's your chance to watch at home. Stream the hit movie now on Paramount Plus, rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/OneLove to try it free now.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.